Hi, friend. I'm your host, Leenine Heiss, and this is episode 92 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. Well, hey, friends, the world turned upside down this week, didn't it? COVID-19 has shut down schools across America and indeed in many countries around the world. Yesterday, President Trump asked for a day of prayer, and Moms in Prayer produced a prayer sheet in response, focusing on our God of hope. This is available through our Facebook page as I speak these words and will soon be available on our website. We want to remind you that though our circumstances change each day, we know we serve a God who does not. The God who is good and sovereign that we pray to each week is still on the throne hearing our prayers. We encourage you, mamas, to slowing and isolation to draw you and your family nearer to the hearts of Jesus. Phone a friend and pray together. Remember, a Moms in Prayer group is still just made up of two moms with a heart to pray for children in schools. It's also good to remind you that this is a great chance to turn off the news and listen to some of the other 91 episodes you might have missed of the podcast. Our show is filled with hope and peace. So if you're going to binge anything, make sure that it will point you to Jesus. Today's guest is Moms in Prayer friend, Dr. Kathy Cook. You might remember her from episode 25, and today's episode is so good. Go to our show notes for the links to the books and the details we talk about, and you can find those on the blog at momsinprayer.org. Let's welcome our friend, Dr. Kathy, to the podcast. My friend, Kathy Cook, welcome back to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Well, thank you so much. Excited to be here.
Well, Dr. Kathy, it is actually. Would you, in case our friends don't know you, would you reintroduce yourself to our audience?
Oh, sure. I'm the founder and president of Celebrate Kids. Our ministry is about 30 years old, based in Fort Worth, Texas, and public speaker, you know, motivational and inspirational, practical, do a lot of work with parents, teachers, kids of all ages in conferences, schools, churches around the world, been to 30 countries. And then I'm also the co-founder of Ignite the Family, which is a relatively new ministry for moms based in Alpharetta, Georgia, where we do conferences and have a lot of social media to inspire moms in particular. And we're moving toward a dad piece of that as well, because we know that moms and dads matter greatly.
I love that so much. That's a part of my heart too. And this is really exciting. Our friends at Moms in Prayer don't know this yet, but I've gotten to endorse your last two books, and I'm crazy about what God is doing through you, Kathy, and what God's doing through Celebrate Kids, too. So I've asked you to come back. Our listeners probably already heard you when we talked about the 8 Great Smarts of Kids, which I think is genius. But I wanted you to come back to talk kind of, let's do a dance between the two new books, because the last book you wrote, 5 to Thrive, is fantastic. It addresses the 5 core needs that we face as parents. I always like to think when we pick up toys, like, we know how that works. Like, you know, those cars that you pull back and they slingshot forward. We know that's a car. We know that if you pull it back, it's going to slingshot forward, but we do not know how that works. And so I think, Kathy, that our inner selves are kind of like that too. We experience that momentum in our life, but a lot of times we don't know why we are doing the things we're doing, or why we're even longing for the things that we're longing for. So talk to me about beginning to address these needs that happen inside of, well, moms today.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that analogy. It's so true. We do have needs created in us by God as creator. And you're exactly right, Lee, that we may not understand that we're making choices because we're trying to meet those needs. They're legitimate, but we need to meet them in legitimate ways. First core need is for security. Who can I trust? If you think in terms of a pyramid, it's at the base of the pyramid. Security is the firm foundation, or needs to be, ought to be, of life for us. And there are certain ways that we can meet that security need in healthy ways, and certain ways we can try to meet it that are unhealthy. And those won't last, of course. And then we lead to identity. Who am I? Who am I? Identity comes out of our security. If we know who we can trust, we are more likely to know who we are. And Lee, you're very familiar, of course, with the identity crisis in our culture. Boys and girls and moms who don't know who they are, and therefore don't know how to behave, and therefore are wishy-washy and confused and confusing, and it's messy. When our identity is solid, we get to belonging, who wants me, and we will know how to present ourselves to strangers. We will know who to look for so that our relationships are healthy. And all of us were created by God for a need to belong, and we belong predominantly to him in that vertical relationship, but then he creates us for this horizontal thing that's called friendship. And then purpose, why am I alive? You know, why did God make me now? Why am I alive? And if I know who I can trust and I know who I am and I have relationships that matter, I will know why I am alive. And then we get to competence. What do I do well? What was I created to do well? And Lee, we were not created for perfection. Hmm. Perfection has been done. His name is Jesus. We can't be, we can't be who he is, but we were created to do things well because God wants us to fulfill our unique purpose. Ephesians 2:10, we were created in advance to do good work, that we would walk in that good work. That's part of our purpose, part of our competence. All five of these core needs met first and foremost by the triune God. And then he also wants us to embrace the fellowship of the saints, that we would be able to have an even richer and stronger base for those core needs.
I appreciate this so much because it really is answering the question, what is going on inside of me? And so I'm sure that there are people who are identifying, like, I have a security problem just at the very base level. I don't trust easily. I mean, for me, in my journey, I had a fear issue that was a mile wide. Well, that is a security issue. And it really is kind of this hierarchy of godly needs. So what are we going to do, Kathy, if we recognize I have a real hole in one of these areas?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. Praise God we're willing to go there and admit that. Yeah. You know, let's be humble and let's seek first what God would have for us, because especially the moms who are listening, we want to be really good for our kids, right? Mm-hmm. We want to be able to lead our children well. And you can lead from brokenness. Oh, praise God. You can lead out of brokenness. Oh my goodness. But obviously God would desire that we be whole and healthy and therefore be able to lead our kids even better. So first of all, you know, praise God for humility. I think it's key. Where do we go for the answers? Certainly to God, to his word, to his spirit, to his presence, to our pastoral leaders, perhaps, to our accountability, to our moms in prayer groups, to our MOPS groups, if you will, our Sunday school groups, and good people that we know we can trust, and have them help us identify, where do you see me weak? You know, could you help me with this? Things like security, you know, if we've been violated in the past, if we haven't forgiven, if we were lied to, if we were misled and deceived, and who hasn't been, it's okay to say, man, I was naive and I wish I wouldn't have been, but I was, but I will not be that anymore. And I will learn the skill. And my book, as you know, is full of skills of discernment. How do I decide who to give a second chance to versus who do I decide is just basically an unhealthy person that I need to walk away from for at least a season? And as hard as that is, you know, I have a right to prioritize myself and decide that I matter enough in the kingdom that I'm going to be careful and guard my heart, my mind, my soul, my spirit. So I don't know. I could talk all day about it. I think it partly is, again, who do we turn to? Certainly going to God, asking God to reveal truth, you know, living in the present, expecting for the future victory rather than continually looking back, which we have a tendency to do, but it's not good for us.
I appreciate that. I think both of us would probably be proponents for godly counseling too. If that's where God has us, we want to just free people up and say, it's okay to go to counseling to get healthy, right?
Absolutely. In fact, I think the mental health crisis in the church is really partly because it's God and me alone. And, you know, God is God. God is capable of speaking life into darkness, light into darkness, life into death, hope into despair. Absolutely. Praise God for all those victories. But he does work with learned people and godly counsel. Why are people listening to us on the podcast? Because they care enough about themselves and they want to get hope and health. And sometimes you go to the next level and get a biblically solid, mature therapist, counselor, psychologist. Absolutely no shame in that at all.
So tell me how this is different. So if we're looking at the needs that we have, how is this different than self-help?
That's a fair question because God has the answers. I think the self-help movement is, you know, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and I can do this. And there's a level of that that's healthy, certainly. But this is God answering the questions. Who am I? It's who God says I am that is most important. I'm a chosen child of the King of the universe. So I'm a princess. You know, I'm completely whole in my relationship in Christ. Belonging is met by my love relationship with my Father God, by my intimate prayer language, by my choice to worship the Almighty. My purpose is found in glorifying him, which is throughout the Old and New Testament. My purpose is found in becoming who he created for me to be when he chose in his love to make me. My competence. I love to tell people that Philippians 4:13 is not a t-shirt slogan. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is a Bible verse.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's my competence. And if I believe that, then how much do I pray? Lee, for me, before I present, like this is a convention week for me and I'm speaking several times, how many minutes do I spend in my three-ring binder where my notes are? And how many minutes do I spend in fellowship with God, asking that he would lead me and that the Holy Spirit would be quick to respond to the needs that are represented by the people in the room? I think that's the key. It's not self-help, because we expect God to be the one that answers our questions.
I love that. So if we look at these five needs, is there a way to tell, like, just child development-wise, when do our kids start to have these needs, and when do we start addressing these needs?
Wow. Well, they start in infancy. You know, when kids cry, they want to be picked up. Hello, security. You know, when we say their name with love and we want to spend time with them and we put away the devices so that we can read a page-turning book, if you will, there's belonging that's found in those moments of isolation, just me and my daughter, me and my son. The needs are there from the get-go because they're wired into us by God. They're wired into us by God so that we would know him. Mm-hmm. I absolutely believe it's the evangelistic call, if you will. And that when we have all five of these needs met in Christ, then we have the Lordship, not just the Savior component of our relationship with the God of the Bible. So I do think they're there all the time, and it's never too late to heal and to have hope, and it's never too early to address them. You know, what identity do you want for your kids? If I were to interview your children, Lee, and I would say, tell me about yourself, what would you hope they would say? And what would you hope they would say first, second, third, fourth, and fifth? Well, they get their identity from what we say about them and what we don't say about them. Mm. They get their identity from how we react to them. Okay. What I would say is I would pray that they would say something that God would say about them if he were there speaking with an audible voice.
Amen.
You know, I'm chosen. I'm created in the image of God. I'm a holy nation and a royal priesthood. Oh my goodness. And I'm devoted to God because he's devoted to me. We can give kids those identities when they're old enough to hear. Here's one of my challenges. The last thing that you say to a child when you put the child to bed is something God would say if he were speaking to them. Let them go to bed thinking about that. And when you wake them up in the morning, hello, chosen child. Hello, complete in Christ, image bearer. Wow.
That is game changing.
It could be. It could be.
It could be.
Because you know what? It does us good to hear it, right? Because the same thing is true for us.
Right. I mean, I want the last word to be spoken over my day to be ones that the Father says over me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And quite often it is, as we end our day in prayer or before our feet hit the ground in the morning, Lord, this day is yours. I belong to you. Like, we just start to claim that for ourselves, right?
Amen. Amen. And it's mature to do that. And if somebody's listening who's never done that, no shame or blame.
Right.
It's part of the growth in your, and it's a love response. It's a thank you giving back to God. It's a gratitude response to all that he's done for us.
So I know this is kind of the same question, but with our kids in mind, what do we do when we see this huge hole or wound in our kids? We say, okay, I know this is a core need issue. What steps are you going to give us to help triage this bleeding heart in front of us?
Oh, shoot. That's a great phrase. Well, read the book. It's full of strategies. So I don't mean that to be as self-serving.
No, I mean it too. I mean it too. Yeah.
I mean, I really appreciate that because, you know, the right answer is pray, right, Lee?
Right.
You know, pray. No, totally. when you see the brokenness, when you see the concern, you know, to not get angry and to not be judgmental and not feel any shame or blame because, man, what did I do wrong that my kid is, you know, struggling? And the struggle is real. The culture is confusing. But to hear their heart cry, not just the words they speak, and to say, are you complaining? Or are you asking for help?
Mm.
You know, and if you've got a preteen, hey, I was just verbalizing my angst. Well, let me know when you want some help because I've got some ideas, you know, and let the kids know that when you're ready, I'm ready. Because it doesn't do us any good to talk the talk and have them not be ready for our insight. And I think this is where, again, we seek, as the parent, we seek the advice of the learned. You know, maybe there's somebody who's walked before you. They've got kids 5 years older than yours, and they can give you some advice. Certainly, you and I both have books available that, you know, would be insightful. To know the Word of God, I think, you know, with this book and on the book's website, there are scripture for each of these five core needs. So when your kid has a belonging issue, how does God meet that need? When your kids have a purpose issue and they're wondering, why am I alive? You know, these are dark days and there's death around us and there's confusion. I don't like school and I'm not even sure what to do with my tomorrow. So why should I keep living? Well, what does God say about that? Yep. You know, and are you pro-life? Are you really pro-life? Are you pro-living? And what have you done to give your kids optimism? Service. I would say, Lee, that, and I write about this probably in all my books, that when we serve, we get our eyes off of ourselves. We find our talent, our delight, our skill set. It does a person good to serve, doesn't it?
Yep, totally.
Right? And I think it changes us. I think it changes our emotion. It changes our social connections. It changes our awareness of purpose. It gives us competence. We see that God did use me. You know, Lee, God could snap his fingers and make all the hatred go away, all the unhealthy, you know, belief systems go away, but he hasn't done that. And he's chosen to let us partner with him in this thing called life. And so when we as a family serve, what I love is for a family to serve together, because then mom and dad can have conversations with their kids. If all the children collect diapers for the PRC as a fourth grade service project, that's great and marvelous and life-changing. If a homeschool co-op does something together for the homeless population, that's wonderful. But when mom, dad, and 2.5 kids and the dog go out there and serve, and you're driving home, and the 9-year-old says to dad, "Dad, how did you feel when we dropped off the shoes?" Dad's able to share his heart, and the little boy says, "Daddy, I had that same feeling." I mean, that's bonding. That's belonging. That's purpose. That's competence, that's identity, and that is security, all through service.
I appreciate that so much. I have two teenagers, one just about to be a teenager and a 10-year-old. And right now, I know that there are people who are listening that are just saying, like I am, like, the thing that my kids most need to do is serve someone else. And I am sure people are going to be like, but Kathy, my kids aren't going to want to do this, because I can say my kids aren't going to want to do this. And I'm just going to say, we're just dragging your butts out the door. I'm so sorry, but this is all play. Like, required, we are all going to do something for someone else right now. And do you think it's okay to require your kids to get out there and do something for someone else?
Oh, absolutely it is. I mean, I'm so excited you asked that question. Of course it is. Now, let's not be foolish about it. You know, if your child isn't coordinated and doesn't like to sweat, doesn't like the sun, don't make him play soccer at the field where the homeless kids hang out. I mean, be respectful to who God has created your children to be. That's your awareness of their identity, their purpose, and their competence. On the other hand, nothing wrong with stretching them a little bit. Here's what I think I have found out, Lee. When the whole family is new at it, it's easier for the children, right? So like if it's mom's passion, that makes the kids a little bit nervous. If dad has a lot of experience at that particular place, building a home, you know, doing something with the canned goods at the food bank, maybe it's a little bit intimidating. But when it's new for the whole family, then maybe it's a little bit easier for the kids to step forward, and the kid might find their delight without the competition of a sibling that's already been there with a youth group. Not that you can't do it that way, but maybe look for something that's brand new. Look for something that's out of the box. If you require your kids to, you know, do other things, of course you can require that they serve. That's part of growing up in the Christian walk, right? And that's what we ought to be passionate about.
Well, something else I know that you and I are passionate about, and certainly Moms in Prayer is too, is looking at the inner child, addressing what is going on in the inside. You have talked about that we need to change what we believe in order to change our behavior. And that certainly starts with us and ripples down to our kids as well. They'll see that. But we're trying as parents to always be after their heart, right?
Well, I hope so. And that's really a main reason that I wrote the book Start With the Heart, is if you start with legalistic, check it off the list, be a good girl, you start with behavior management, then they're only going to be good possibly when you're there to catch them being good. And they never have the transformation of spirit, of heart, so that they can be well and do well even when you're not looking. And that's ideally you parent so that you don't have to parent one day and you've passed on your values and your core objectives and your mission and your vision as a family. Why did God put you together as a family unit? And you've passed that on so that they can, like I said, be well and do well even when you're not there. And so it is beliefs. It is looking for what's under the behavior. Why are they selfish? What do they believe about the way the world works? Why won't they serve their brother? But why do they expect to be served by their brother? Have they decided that age trumps everything? Have they decided, you know, boys are more important than girls, or girls are weak, therefore serve me? I mean, what's the belief there? Is there a belief that they can't do it unless they're perfect at it because they're fearful? Because maybe they were embarrassed by making a mistake in front of that particular sibling and they're not going to risk again. Can we discern that? And if their kids are old enough, we can ask them, what's causing that? And a lot of kids will say to me initially, well, I don't know. You tell me. I'm like, no, I want you to figure that out. What, there's something in you that's causing your choices. Lee, all behavior starts with choice. All choice is rooted in beliefs. And the first time you say to even an adult, what's causing your choice, they may not know. But what's so exciting is for the child to come back an hour later, 2 days later, hey, mom, I was thinking about that really weird question. And I think I know what's inside of me. Can we talk? Wow, that would be so precious.
And obviously, it's the role of the mother who stands beside, who just lobbed that grenade question to say to her child, I'll be praying while you think about that. Or maybe you don't tell them you're praying, but you just do. Like, Lord, reveal the inner workings of my child's heart to my child. Sometimes as a parent, I have trouble putting my finger on exactly why I think what is happening is wrong. Whining is like this, right? Where it's just whining, or perpetually getting hurt. These things that were like, something's off, but I can't really put my finger on what those are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, to pray for sure. And I think to pray for humility. I think that they would be willing and able to see what's really there. And I've prayed often for myself and for others to lift the fear, because often we're unable and unwilling to move forward and try new things because risk is hard. We have to be able to perhaps not get it right the first time. So I think those, I would recommend a lifting of fear and a removal of pride. I think often those two get in the way of our ability to really see what's at the core of what's going on.
So I'm sure there are friends listening right now who are saying, I think I have a good kid, but my kid's hanging with bad friends. Like, I think this is a peer issue. Can you just speak to that, Kathy, about peer pressure and our responsibility as parents?
Oh, shoot. Way to ask another easy question, Lee.
See?
Oh, good heavens.
If you have an expert in front of you, Kathy, you ask all the questions.
I love it. Yeah, it's a great question. And we believe at Celebrate Kids that, you know, show me your friends and I will show you your future. I mean, we are affected by the people we hang with. Iron does sharpen iron, and it goes in both directions. So absolutely, let me go back and say identity controls behavior. Identity, who I think I am, is who will show up. So if I think of myself as prideful, then I have to hang out with people who I can boss around. If I think of myself as worthless, then I'm willing to be bossed around. If I think of myself as prideful and word smart, and I have to have the last word, I have to win every argument, because that's how I feel secure. So I have to win every argument. Mom and Dad have told me I'm really good with my words and one day I'll be a lawyer. Well, right now I'm going to be a boss. And so I'm going to enter into my relationships, whether it be one-on-one or one-on-three, and I'm going to be the lead, the boss, the one that knows it all. And then I'm not going to be led, I'm going to lead. And so leadership is a great quality when they're old enough to handle it well, but it can be a real detriment, of course, in a friendship relationship. So I think that what I would encourage parents to do is to, again, what's underneath the surface? What is your child? What need is your child trying to meet in those relationships? If their security is popularity, then they have to stay popular at all costs. If their security is I'm beautiful, then they have to dress a certain way, walk a certain way, have their hair a certain way. And they walk into a relationship, they walk into a youth group, they walk into a homeschool co-op, they walk into a classroom, and they're looking for the new kid who's prettier, and that's going to make them really uncomfortable. I know of kids who won't go to school the day their hair didn't work, you know, turn out right. I'm like, oh my goodness. But I get that again, because I get the social media comparisonitis, red carpet moment mentality that we're letting our kids being raised by. So let's own that if we can. And this is what I should say. I don't care if you like me. If you've allowed your kids all over social media, then part of the dilemma is the hijacking of the word friend. Lee, I tell people all the time, and I know you do too, if you're friends with me on Facebook, you're not my friend. You're my Facebook friend.
Right.
And if you can't handle that Facebook being used as an adjective, get off. Because it's different. So I'm probably rambling a little bit, but I respect your question very, very much. And here's the thing too. If we as a mom, if a mom knows that a child's angst is caused partly by a relationship that they're trying to make work, this is where we're brave and we say to our sons and daughters, could I tell you what I've noticed about your friend, and put it in quotes, you know, air quotes, your friend Alyssa. Can I tell you what I've noticed, the consistent way that she treats you? And have you noticed that? And why, if you've noticed it, are you allowing it to go on? And a lot of kids tell me, they'll say, Dr. Kathy, I don't know how to end a friendship. And so we're unfriending, right? And we're trying to walk away wounded. And now we're not able to maybe forgive and be forgiven and the healing. And now there's brokenness and now there's angst and it's a mess. And that's why I celebrate kids. In fact, in the book, Five to Thrive, in the belonging chapter, you probably saw the list of friendship skills.
Yeah.
There's, I think, 6 pages devoted to friendship skills. And one of those friendship skills is how to end a relationship in a healthy way. And teaching children, it is okay to walk away. It doesn't make you hateful. It doesn't mean that you're wrong. It might be season because that kid needs to grow up, or you need to grow up, or it might be a forever decision. Now, if that is a kid in the band with you, or that's a kid who's in fourth period with you, then we're going to have to work on how do you negotiate being together without really, you know, being together, if you will.
I just think it's so important that we learn those skills of asking the hard questions of our kids and praying and listening for the answer that we hear too. Like, if we commit these things to prayer, we're setting a model for our kids to learn to commit these things that are causing them angst to prayer as well, right?
Absolutely. And Lee, to listen, to have a child hear you pray over them, you know, let's say that your child last night was honest and said that there's a friend named Lisa who's really a friend, quote unquote, or somebody they really want to get to know. Hey, there's this new kid. She seems really lonely. I'm trying to make an inroad. I haven't figured it out yet. What if that morning your child heard you pray, Father God, help my daughter friend Lisa today. Would you make Lisa more available to my daughter's heart? Would you show my daughter a new way to have a conversation, a new way to ask a question that Lisa would take in a friendly, not interrogation, you know, kind of way? And your daughter goes off to school and she remembers that you prayed that. Mm-hmm. And so she's in the gym, she's in the lunchroom, she's in the hallway, and she sees this new girl, Lisa, and she remembers, wait, mom prayed for me that I would be empowered to be successful. So I'm going to walk toward Lisa and I'm going to give this another try. And then she bebops home and she says, mom, guess what happened? And praise God. And now you have this moment to celebrate that God was good because God said yes. Absolutely. I think to let our kids know we pray for them and that we heard them. You know what, Lee, every child wants to be heard. One of the primary ways they know they're loved is that we know them and we've heard them. And one of the best ways to say that you heard them is that they would hear you pray over something that they said. Or maybe they didn't even say it. Maybe they walked home or got home and you got home from work and you recognize that your child seems a bit out of sorts. And then you pray, Father God, Jacob seems just a bit off today. He just doesn't seem to be the joyful, skipping kind of kid. Would you help him? And God, if there's something I can do to settle Jacob's heart, show me what that is. What kid wouldn't want to be loved in that way?
Yep.
And I think there's confidence there and there's vulnerability there. And you know what, my friend, there is security there. For them to know that we've gone to God, their creator, wow.
And there's no x-ray for our children's hearts except the Holy Spirit who does that work. That we would go to him and we would pray, Lord, I need wisdom. I can't see it. And we have experienced God answering that prayer of putting our finger on something that the only way we would know was that God led us to that answer. I love this. And you know this story already, but we pray all the time that our kids would be caught in their sin. And my kids hate that prayer, but I showed them even this morning in Proverbs, like we pray this because Proverbs tells us too that one step on the wrong path leads to destruction. Like, it's just the choosing of two paths. And I want to know, I want there to be a great big alarm that goes off anytime you set your foot on the wrong path. I want it to be an alarm, not just to me so I catch you, but an alarm to you that you know you've taken a step on a path that God's not going to bless. And what a rich thing.
Oh, that's so brilliant. Absolutely. Because what, I mean, for them to know that that's your heart, that they be protected and not go there.
Yep.
Certainly would be your first heart, but that when they go there, that they would quickly recognize and take the ownership of that and do the U-turn. Absolutely. Don't wait for others. If you know what's wrong, take care of it.
So good. Well, Kathy, we have run out of time and I hate that. So would you pray for our friends that are listening that maybe are swimming just a little bit going like, okay, so I have needs and they have needs right now. And they're swimming in the middle of those thoughts. Can you pray for that mom right now?
I'd be honored to. So Father God, praise God, they're still swimming, not drowning. Would you order their steps and answer their questions as only you can? Show them the right questions to ask. Teach them truth. I know that you're a practical, insightful, personal, intentional God. You can answer questions that would reveal the practical steps to take. I pray that you would honor these moms by doing that for them, do it for their kids, meet their needs, show them the hope that you are, and help us all walk forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God created us and He knows our needs. As we walk in these changing times, we need God to lead us each step of the way. We get this wisdom in His Word and in prayer. I'd love for you to make sure you are following Moms in Prayer on every social media channel. We're bringing you hope, joy, scriptures, ideas for your family. We're at Moms in Prayer and at Leaning Heights. Tag us and tell us what's today's episode. Also, if your kids are home like mine for the next 3 weeks, show us what you're up to. Hashtag us at Moms in Prayer. As a matter of fact, you can follow a hashtag now. You follow the hashtag Moms in Prayer and see what everybody else is up to. We love being right there with you. Did you use the Moms in Prayer call to prayer sheet? I did, twice actually. Tell us about it online or email us at podcast@momsinprayer.com. Hey, moms are making the difference. Moms who are looking to Jesus for all of their needs. Moms just like you. See you next week.